Taylor. Earlier, the Athletics wanted Washington 6-0, but had a career-high 10 strikeouts from Jacob Lopez.
It's dinner time, West Alabama, and if you are craving fried catfish with tartar sauce on a grilled bun, or maybe even a fried chicken tender with Swiss cheese, grilled onions, and an avocado spread on French bread, that sandwich is called the Jose, then you need to check out the Coker Market, which is located at the four-way intersection just off County Road 140 in Coker, Alabama. Their hours of operation is Wednesday through Saturday, 11 a.m. until 7 p.m. Go by and check out the Coker Market off of County Road 140 there in Coker, Alabama, for community goods and wonderful barbecue.
This is the Stingray Show, and coming up on this edition, we are going to be doing our Auburn preview show as Hugh Freeze enters his third season down at Auburn, but he has a new quarterback to work with. Peyton Thorne is no longer at Auburn, and in comes Jackson Arnold from Oklahoma. Andy Burcham, the voice of the Auburn Tigers, will join us on this edition of the Stingray Show to do a deep dive into the Auburn preview show for 2025.
Hi, this is Tim Brando with a reminder. Those of you on Tide 100.9, look out. You're about to feel the buzz of Stingray.
This is Stephen Ray, a.k.a. Stingray, coming to you live from Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
I'm Heath Hopkins. I'm here in DeSoto County, Mississippi, right outside of Memphis, Tennessee.
You know, Mark, I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you feel that responsibility to pay it forward and give some kid a chance coming up in the ranks, kind of like Tony did for you?
Why do you think I'm talking to Stingray tonight?
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
No, I mean, it's look. No.
Heath, Stingray, here's the deal. When you get involved with Texas, it's like getting married to a stripper. and let me explain this. It looks good, kind of sexy on the surface. Yeah, but then you get the baggage, you get the drama, you get all that eventually comes with it. And that's what you get with Texas, and that's what the Big 12 learned.
And Heath, any thoughts on our show moving forward?
Hey, to everyone in Tuscaloosa listening here on Tide 100.9, with the Stingray Show, if you don't like it, you better learn to love it, because it's the best show going today, baby. Woo!
And with that, I want to welcome you inside the Auburn War Eagle preview show right here on the Stingray Show. And Auburn, in the first year under head coach Hugh Freeze, went 6-7. Last year, they went 5-7. And now he is entering year number 3 with a brand new quarterback. However, they have a stacked wide receiving room this year. To break down the Auburn Tigers, please help us welcome to the Stingray Show, Mr. Andy Burcham, who is the voice of the Auburn Tigers. Andy, how are things with you down on the plains in Auburn?
Well, doing very well, Stingray. Getting ready for that opener at Baylor on the 29th. Looking forward to making our way down to Waco, Texas for that game and to see what the 2025 edition of the Auburn Tigers looks like. It will be a very, very tough opener. It's the toughest opener I think Auburn has had perhaps since 2019 when the Tigers played Oregon down in Arlington, Texas in Bo Nix's first game as Auburn's quarterback.
So, Andy, if you would, talk about the hype and the pressure that is on Hugh Freeze going into his third year, because the first year was 6-7, and then last year was 5-7. They tried to make a bowl game late, push for a bowl game, but could not get there. Talk about the hype and the pressure on Hugh Freeze going into this season.
Well, there is a pressure, I think. And it's not just pressure on Hugh Freeze. I think it's pressure on Auburn going in just because of the 2 years, the first 2 years under Coach Freeze. And we have seen glimpses. We have seen flashes of what this team can be. Auburn, I think, has more talent than it's had in the first 2 years under Hugh Freeze up front on the offensive line, certainly in that wide receiver room. It remains to be seen how Auburn will will play at the quarterback spot after our 2 years of Peyton Thorne running the show. Now Jackson Arnold comes in from Oklahoma to take over. I think Auburn is really good at the edge spots defensively up front with Keldrick Falk and Kieron Crawford as your rush ends. I think Auburn is better than most believe in the secondary.
Right.
But there are questions at linebacker. There are questions in the middle of that defensive line as well for Auburn. So, you know, there's a lot to be gained in the less than month that we have before that opener at Baylor on the 29th.
So if you would, Andy, talk about what you think went wrong with Peyton Thorne during his time there at Auburn.
That's a good question, and I'm not sure I have the definitive answer, because we saw Peyton Thorne have some very good games for the Tigers. Yes. And we saw him having very good games, and then one mistake would lead Auburn in the wrong direction. Oklahoma game is a great example of that. And in some of those games that Auburn lost late last year, Peyton Thorne played well enough to win. And Auburn perhaps ran out of gas, or the kicking game let down. So I think it was a myriad of things that occurred for Auburn in those games. And, you know, you can look back at close losses last year. Cal, Vanderbilt, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Missouri. All of those games were winnable games for Auburn. And if Auburn wins two or three of those games, the outlook going into this season is dramatically different than it is right now. So I think Auburn was very, very close a year ago under Peyton Thorne as the quarterback. He's, of course, moved on, and now Auburn turns to another transfer quarterback in Jackson Arnold, who was highly touted coming out of high school, National Player of the Year out of Denton, Texas, and Denton Geyer High School, and just didn't work out for him at Oklahoma, and now he is the guy that's leading the show at Auburn now.
Andy, I want to follow up on that. And you know, Jackson Arnold, as you mentioned, all this praise in high school, super highly recruited. And let's just call it what happened at Oklahoma. Offensive coordinator's gone. There were lots of injuries. Nick Anderson, considered the best wide receiver coming into the season last year, didn't even record a catch. If you take out your top receiver and your offensive coordinator gets gone, I don't think too many of those issues are the quarterback. I think that was just a nightmare scenario for Jackson Arnold. It's a fresh start for him.
Right.
You know, the one thing that I would ask, and through the grapevine, and I'm sure everyone's talking about it because everyone loves the quarterback, what did you hear in spring practice? And what are you hearing now during summer workouts? What's the vibe? Because we were talking to Oklahoma yesterday, John Mateer, the transfer coming in from Washington State. We were told yesterday on the show, He's a dude. Everyone's talking about him. What are folks saying about Jackson Arnold there on the Plains?
It's an interesting aspect. Heath and I was talking with Jason Campbell after practice yesterday. He and I were both at practice. I had some work to do for our we don't interview. We get everyone to give us their name, hometown, and high school, and we use that in our intro, our starting lineups on the Auburn Sports Network. So I was there for that. Jason was there at practice, and he and I talked a little bit after practice. I said, what do you think, Jason? I mean, this is a guy that certainly has a lot more insider knowledge than I do, and he's been through this before. And he said, I really love the vibe of this team. I think he feels that this team is more cohesive than it was a year ago. And I'm not trying to say that last year that was a problem. I just think that has improved. Mm-hmm. I think that Jackson Arnold, Heath, has done everything he has needed to do to this point. I thought he had a really good spring, and he stayed on campus, obviously, through the summer months. Did not go to some of the academies. He wanted to stay here and throw to his guys. He wanted more time with the likes of Cam Coleman and Malcolm Simmons and Eric Singleton and Perry Thompson and Duke Smith and Cameron King and all those guys. And I think he used that to his advantage. And listen, Oklahoma is hoping for its quarterback that it's a fresh start there, just like Auburn is hoping with Jackson Arnold this year. And yeah, I mean, a year ago, Oklahoma came to Auburn as a decimated ball club and still beat Auburn.
Yeah.
A year ago. Now, at that point, Jackson wasn't playing. Jackson wasn't the quarterback that day when they came here. And it's interesting for me because in the first month, well, the last part of August and through September, he makes two trips, or he makes a trip back to his home state in the opener against Baylor.
Yep.
And before Auburn gets to his first open date at the end of September, he makes a trip back to Norman, Oklahoma as well. So there are some fascinating games coming up for Jackson Arnold. But I think all in all, I think he's done very well. But again, the lights aren't on yet.
Right.
We haven't seen this team. We haven't seen this team, this offense under Jackson Arnold in a situation, in a setting like Auburn will have on the 29th down at Baylor. And listen, there are still some question marks for Auburn. I mean, who's the guy that steps forward for Auburn? Or is it a true tailback by committee?
Yes.
For Auburn? You know, so in years past, you've had Jarquez Hunter. You've had Tank Bigsby. You had a guy at the tailback spot. I don't know if Auburn has that guy yet. Is it Jeremiah Cobb? Is it Damari Alston? Is it one of the new guys? Is it Darrell Robinson, who transferred in from UConn?
So, right.
I'll let you ask a question now, Steve.
We are up against our first break, but that was a good transition because when we come back, we are going to dive into that running back room and then get to the wide receivers. That's on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Stingray Show. We will be right back on the Auburn Preview Show. That was great. Residents of Tuscaloosa, are you guys upsizing, downsizing, looking for college housing, or even relocating for your job right here to Tuscaloosa? If that's the case, then you need to contact Celeste Hagler, owner and operator of First Class Real Estate South Home Group, right here in Tuscaloosa. She can help you with the buying, selling, and investment needs throughout the state of Alabama. You can contact Celeste at 205-861-5698. Reach out to Celeste again at 205-861-5698 and schedule a consultation to discuss your real estate goals and to live where you love in the state of Alabama. It's dinner time, West Alabama, and if you are craving fried catfish with tartar sauce on a grilled bun, or maybe even a fried chicken tender with Swiss cheese, grilled onions, and an avocado spread on French bread, that sandwich is called the Jose, then you need to check out the Coker Market, which is located at the four-way intersection just off County Road 140 in Coker, Alabama. Their hours of operation is Wednesday through Saturday, 11 a.m. until 7 p.m. Go by and check out the Coker Market off of County Road 140 there in Coker, Alabama, for community goods and wonderful barbecue. For over 100 years, the Bank of Moundville has been a name clients can trust. The Bank of Moundville is more than just a bank. They're your neighbors, your friends, and your community partners. Their unique approach to financial education has always centered around families. They believe that financially strong homes today lay the foundation for a brighter futures for tomorrow's generation. You can call them today at 205-371-2227. Once again, that is 371-2227 to schedule an appointment to build your financial security. The Bank of Moundville is a member FDIC and an equal housing lender.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Watch for an accident west on McFarland at Fayette Highway. Also, an accident was cleared on Skyland Boulevard South before McFarland. Seeing congestion on Highway 69 north from McFarland to Mitlary Road. It's a 10-minute drive. On Lurleen Wallace north from 15th Street to McFarland, an 8-minute drive. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, I'm Lisa Bakke.
Want to jump into any of the shows? Call Tide 100.9 right now at 205-342-9904.
Will somebody answer that damn phone?
That's 205-342-9904.
And with that, we want to welcome you back inside the Auburn Preview Show with our guest this evening, the voice of the Auburn Tigers, Mr. Andy Burcham. And Andy, before the break, you briefly touched on the running back position. What does Auburn look like at the running back position going into 2025?
Well, that's an interesting aspect of this team, Stingray, because as I mentioned before the break, there's always been that guy. I mean, last year you knew it was going to be Jarquez Hunter. He was the main guy. He was the one that was going to tote the rock for Auburn. And before that, it was Tank Bigsby. Now both of those guys are in the NFL. Tank down in Jacksonville and Jarquez with the Rams in L.A. Who is it going to be this year? Is it going to be Jeremiah Cobb out of Montgomery? Is it going to be Damari Alston? Out of Atlanta. Is it going to be one of the new guys? Is it, Darrell Robinson, who transferred in from UConn, did not go through spring practice coming off of an injury. He looks the part. Let me say that. I mean, he looks like the guy. He looks like he could be the guy. Or is it a couple of these youngsters? Alvin Henderson, who's the all-time rushing leader in the state of Alabama out of Elba. And then a real interesting aspect, and a guy that's gotten some reps early because of some injuries to Damari Alston and Jeremiah Cobb. Both of those guys, by the way, are back. But Omar Mabson II, who's from Auburn High School, declared a year early. He could be, perhaps should be, a senior at Auburn High School right now. I guarantee you that Coach Etheridge at Auburn High School would love to have Omar back for that senior year. But he's on campus now at Auburn. And they like what they've seen out of this freshman. So that's the tailback room for Auburn.
Okay.
And Auburn's got some scrimmages coming up before it goes to Baylor.
Yeah.
What does it learn about that tailback room in those scrimmages coming up? I mean, the veterans, the guys that have been in Auburn uniform are Alston and Cobb. Robinson has experience, but that was at UConn. And then you've got the two freshmen. So it's a fascinating story because I don't know if there is a clear-cut favorite right now for that guy. I think these next 3 weeks are an opportunity for Damari Alston and Jeremiah Cobb or Darrell Robinson or Darrell or Alvin or even Omar.
Right.
At this point, I think it's kind of an open book at the tailback room right now.
Andy, staying on the offensive side of the ball, moving to the wide receivers. When I was doing my homework on all the SEC teams this year and I was going over things, I was going into my homework thinking Kem Coleman was going to be a beast this year. He's going to be the best wide receiver on this Auburn team. And then I started reading about Eric Singleton, and I noticed that he is currently number two on, as far as wide receivers on the draft board for next year's draft. And I was like, who is this guy? Okay, transfer portal. Let me see what you got. And so I started diving deep on this. This Auburn team looks to have a ton of targets at wide receiver. And I want to add this, Hugh Freeze has a great track record with transfer quarterbacks. Swag Kelly at Ole Miss. He also had Bo Wallace at Ole Miss. I know things didn't go perfectly with Peyton Thorne, but if you look at the long track record, even when he was at Liberty, he has struck gold in the transfer portal with his quarterback. So with that being said, these wide receivers, we know they stayed home over the summer. You talked about that with Jackson Arnold in the first segment. But what have you seen out of these wide receivers so far?
Well, Eric Singleton, let's start with the transfer in from Georgia Tech. 56 catches, 754 yards, and 3 touchdowns last year at Tech. 5'10", 180 pounds, sprinter's speed. We may not only see Singleton at wide receiver at Auburn, I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see him perhaps in a return role as well. Mm-hmm. Then you add him to the mix, and I still think Cam Coleman's going to be a beast. You talked about it.
Absolutely.
But, as good as that wide receiver room was a year ago, and Keandre Lambert-Smith, who, by the way, had a terrific game in his exhibition opener with the Chargers last week, a touchdown, a couple catches. He was the transfer in. He was one of the best transfer portal wide receivers. And it, turned out into he's playing in the NFL now. And I think Auburn feels the same way about Eric Singleton. But a year ago, KLS was playing with an incredibly talented wide receiver room, but they were all freshmen. Coleman and Thompson and Simmons and Kane, all those guys were freshmen last year. And they're all back. And they're bigger and they're better, you would think, after their freshman season. So, to me, how do you defend these receivers? Because it's not just Cam Coleman now.
Right.
It's Cam Coleman. It's Eric Singleton. It's Perry Thompson. It's Malcolm Simmons. It's Bryce Kane in the slot, who didn't get a ton of playing time a year ago, but has that sprinter speed like Eric Singleton. And then you got two freshmen. The two freshmen this year are Eric Smith and Cameron King, and Cameron King was just put on scholarship for Auburn. So I think this is as talented a wide receiver room as Auburn has had in a long, long time.
I agree.
Now, can you get them the ball?
Right.
Is the big question. That's the question that remains to be answered at this point. Does
so what the O-line look like?
Well, that's where I was going. You beat me to it. I think this is as good as Auburn, as good an offensive line as Auburn has had in a while. Hugh Freeze says it may be the best offensive line he's had, period.
Oh.
As a head coach.
Okay.
Oh.
You returned the middle three in Dylan Wade at left guard, Connor Liu at center, and Jeremiah Wright at right guard. You bring in two new tackles, Mason Murphy out of USC on the right side, and Xavier Chaplin, the blindside tackle, the left tackle, out of Virginia Tech. That's your five. And they have been the five in practice every day for Auburn. And I believe that's the five they're moving forward with. You still have two tall Miller, who has started at tackle for Auburn on both sides, as a matter of fact, and can play guard for Auburn as well. They like what Dylan Senda has done, who transferred to Auburn out of Northwestern and is starting to move up the roster a little bit. Right now would be considered, I think, the number two center, the backup center for the Tigers. Potentially, this offensive line is as talented as Auburn's had in quite some time. They're all, Hugh Freeze has talked about how he's talked with the NFL scouts, and all of these guys are on the draft boards right now, which, you know, you haven't said that about Auburn in a while. So do they give Jackson Arnold time to throw the football? Do they give him time to find one of those talented wide receivers? To me, on paper, yes. But again, there's so many things that we have to learn about this Auburn ball club, including that opener against Baylor on the 29th.
So, Andy, let's switch to the other side of the football. Give us your thoughts on the defensive side of the football for Auburn going into 2025.
I like Auburn at the defensive end and the buck or the rush end spot. I think Auburn is stacked there. I think Keldrick Falk is one of the best football players in the country and has been a starter since day one, has added some muscle. Right now he's 285 pounds and 6 foot six, and he didn't look it either, by the way, guys. He is cut for Auburn at that defensive end. He is going to be a first, I believe, just from everything I've heard and learned, he's going to be a first-round draft pick for this Auburn team. You've got Keyron Crawford on the other side. Those are the two guys for Auburn, with Amaris Williams, who is a sophomore out of Fayetteville, North Carolina, backing up Falk. They need Amaris to take that step from his freshman to sophomore year. And I like Auburn at the rush end spot. Auburn has the numbers it needs at nose tackle and defensive tackle. But at this point, it's a little bit unproven at that point. Auburn liked what it saw out of Malik Blockton, who's from Pike Road, Alabama, a year ago as a freshman. And they need him to take that step from his freshman to sophomore season.
Right.
Right now, Bobby Jamison Travis is probably the nose tackle, but there's room for the other guys at this point. And the guys like Jay Crawford or Jay Hardy and Zykevious Walker and Dallas Walker, those are the guys, and Malik Autry, those are the guys that you hear in the middle two. But again, that is a spot that I think is a bit unproven for Auburn. I think that's a question mark for Auburn defensively. So that's everybody up front for you, or that's the four spots up front. Guys, in the secondary, I think a lot of people are sleeping on this Auburn secondary.
Okay.
And a lot of freshmen and sophomores last year played a lot of important minutes for Auburn. And now they're sophomores and now they're juniors for Auburn. And Auburn returns Champ Anthony, who was playing his best football as an Auburn Tiger when he went down with a broken leg a year ago. Auburn has added a couple from the transfer portal in Rayon Strader, a cornerback who transferred from Miami of Ohio, Rayshon Pleasant, who's a fabulous return man for Auburn, also a cornerback, but has been fighting a little bit of an ankle, I believe, in practice. But they've all added to Jay Crawford and Sylvester Smith and Champ Anthony and Caleb Harris and Kay and Lee. And I like this secondary, guys. I think Auburn at linebacker will not be what it was a year ago because it's not the veteran group that it was with Eugene Asante and crew a year ago. And so now you have to turn to someone like DeMarcus Riddick, who is a fabulous athlete from Clanton, Alabama, Chilton County High School. But he's the guy now for Auburn. Right. I think it's one of the reasons that they got into the transfer portal and got a late transfer like Caleb Wheatland, who transferred in from Maryland. And right now I think he's at the other linebacker spot. And Auburn has depth at linebacker, but it's unproven at this point. I don't think Auburn's going to be that huge physical linebacking core, but Hugh Freeze has said that this linebacking core is quicker, faster than it was a year ago. But again, it's unproven at this point. So, one more spot. If I can jump back to the offense for just a moment, guys, we've not talked about tight end.
Okay.
And Auburn is a bit unproven there other than Brandon Frazier, who missed most of last year, suffered a broken foot in the New Mexico game and was lost for the rest of the season. It's a brand new tight end room along with Brandon as well. So much so that Tate Johnson, who was kind of Auburn's Swiss Army knife on the offensive line, could play anywhere on the line. They moved him out to full-time tight end for this season. So, but back to the defense, Auburn is unproven at linebacker. Auburn likes the talent it has at linebacker.
Right.
And again, these are just questions that have to be answered in the 3 weeks leading up to that opener at Baylor.
So, Andy, we are up against another break, and when we come back, we are now going to navigate the schedule and get your thoughts on the season upcoming for Auburn. That's on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Stingray Show. The Auburn Preview Show will return right after this. Hey, you, looking to upgrade your ride? Alabama One has you covered with auto loan rates as low as 3.99 APR, up to $500 cash back, and the best part, no payments for 90 days. That's right. Buy or refinance and keep the cash in your pocket while you drive the ride you want. But hurry, this limited time offer ends October the 31st. You can apply today at alabamaone.org or by calling 1-800-225-0110. Once again, auto loan rates as low as 3.99 APR, up to $500 cash back, and no payments for 90 days. Remember, Alabama One, one together. The deals at South's Finest Meats just keep getting better and better, and this week through August the 12th, they have a great deal on Ziegler products, including 12 ounces of Southern Style Smoked Sausage 2 for $6, 12 ounces of thick or regular sliced bologna 2 for $5, 12 ounces of Jumbo Frank Hot Dogs 2 for $5, or 24 ounces of Stack Pack Sliced Bacon $7.98. They also have great deals on beef, chicken, and fish this week that run through August the 12th. Go by there today and check out some of the amazing deals at South's Finest Meats.
The best place for your high school football coverage is right here on Tide 100.9 and online on Tide 100.9.com.
Welcome back inside the Stingray Show. This is the Auburn Preview Show with our guest this evening, the voice of the Auburn Tigers, Andy Burcham. And Andy, before we navigate the schedule, talk about the hot seat talk that Hugh Freeze could potentially be on, because everybody talks, when you talk hot seat, of Auburn and Coach Hugh Freeze.
Well, I understand it. Because I think going into last year, Auburn thought, I think the Auburn family felt that Auburn was taking a big step forward.
Right.
In year number two against Hugh Freeze. And it didn't happen. At least as far as the final record was concerned. And, you know, we talked about it in the first segment that there's about four games last year that could have easily gone the other way. And all of a sudden, the perception going into this season is dramatically different.
Yeah.
But yes, is there pressure? There's always pressure.
Yeah.
At Auburn. There's always pressure on any school in the Southeastern Conference. And then that's the case at Auburn. And Hugh Freeze knows that. I mean, the man's been around a little bit, but I'm not sure there's any more pressure on Hugh Freeze than Hugh Freeze.
Right.
At this point. I don't think that Hugh is getting that kind of pressure from his athletic director at this moment. But yes, is there pressure? Sure.
Right.
There always is. And especially when the first 2 years have not gone the way you like. But listen, this is the best roster that Hugh Freeze has had at Auburn.
Yes.
It's the most talented team that he's had. Can they put it together? Right. I think that's one reason that first game at Baylor is such an important game.
Yes.
For Auburn. It's an important game because it's a power four opponent on the road with the national spotlight on Friday night, August 29th. Both teams come in. I mean, it's a Baylor team that's picked, I think, fourth right now in the Big 12, won eight games a year ago, brings a great deal of momentum
right
into this season. An Auburn team that's looking to answer some questions and going on the road. And a win in that game for Auburn, I think, just gives you a great deal of confidence coming home for two games before you go on the road for your SEC openers at Oklahoma and Arkansas before you get to your first open date. And then, oh, by the way, it's Georgia coming to town.
Yes.
In October. If you don't win that game at Baylor, I believe... Is it a must win? I don't know if it's a must win. I think it's a really important win for a number of reasons.
Yeah.
That makes it really tough to recover, even though it's the first game. And certainly you can. I mean, we've seen teams lose early and win national championships and win conference championships. I'm not saying it can't be done, but boy, I think just from a confidence standpoint, that's what makes this game against Baylor very, very important for this Auburn ball club.
Andy, looking at both sides of the ball, I've been asking everyone that's come on to the preview shows, all the beat writers, anybody that's representing the school and covers the school, where do you think they're going to end up? And what I mean by that is in total team offense, total team defense. If you had to guess today with Auburn on defense, do they finish in the top half or the bottom half in the SEC this season?
I think Auburn is sneaky good defensively. I don't think many folks believe this Auburn defense is going to be all of that. I mean, there are players like a Keldrick Falk that he's a first round draft pick for Auburn.
Right.
I think you know. So Auburn finished ninth in the SEC last year with 331 yards in total offense a game. I like what DJ Durkin is doing with this Auburn defense. I like the swagger of this Auburn defense. So I think Auburn finishes in the top half of the SEC and surprise some people there.
Okay.
Now on offense, do they finish
much
in the
better?
Top half
I think this Auburn offense could be very, very good. I think this could be a lights out year, but I think it all hinges upon what Auburn does up front. And I like what Auburn has up front. in that offensive line. To me, that's the key. Does that offensive line open up enough holes to open up Auburn's run game to where teams just can't pin their ears back and come after Jackson Arnold in passing situations? And you've heard Hugh Freeze talk about this since day one here, and it's not earth-shattering news. First down is really important. When Auburn got in trouble offensively a year ago, it was a lot of second and third and long for the Tigers. And that was a problem for Auburn offensively. That cannot happen this year. I don't think it will. I think Auburn finishes in the top half, both offensively and defensively this season.
All right. So, Andy, if you would please navigate the season for us and talk about your thoughts on how Auburn is going to do this season based off the schedule, please.
Well, I won't. I will. You know this. I'm not going to give you a number. I just don't.
Yes.
The month of September is the proving ground for me for this Auburn team. With the game at Baylor to open it up on the 29th, and it's Auburn's first game away from home to open a season since 2019. And it's Auburn's first true road game for it's even further back.
Right.
You come home against Ball State and South Alabama. Auburn will be favored in both of those games. And I'm not taking anything against the away from the Jaguars or the Cardinals.
Right.
And then you go to Oklahoma and Arkansas on the 20th and the 27th. Right. Auburn lost both of those games at home a year ago. There will be drama going into Oklahoma for the obvious reasons. It's Auburn's first trip to Norman. It's Jackson Arnold's return to Norman. Mm-hmm. So that will be very, very interesting. Then you go to Texas A&M, which I think is going to be a much improved ball club. So you have Baylor, Ball State, South Alabama, then Oklahoma and A&M, and then you get the open date.
Okay.
And then Georgia comes to town on October 11th. So, boy, those first three SEC games, two of those are on the road, and then you got the perennial power in Georgia coming in.
Yes.
You go to Missouri, or you get Missouri at home. You lost a heartbreaker to Missouri a year ago. You go to Arkansas. You lost a heartbreaker to Arkansas a year ago. You get Kentucky here, which was one of your big wins from a year ago in Lexington.
Yep.
You go to Vanderbilt, which beat Auburn at Jordan-Hare a year ago. You get Mercer in the tune-up, and then you get Alabama here.
Yes.
You have any trouble selling tickets this year? It's Georgia and Alabama at Jordan-Hare this year. And Auburn has sold out for the third straight year here at Jordan-Hare Stadium. So you've got to pick up a couple of those games on the road.
Yes.
You got to find ways to win those games at Oklahoma and A&M and Arkansas and Vanderbilt. Now, I'm not saying you have to win them all, but you got to get a couple of those games. You've got to beat some teams that you did not beat a year ago.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I don't have a number in my mind at this point. But if you get some confidence early, all right?
Yeah.
You get some confidence early. I like what this ball club can do down the stretch of this season. And I think to do that, you've got to win games like Baylor, and you've got to find a way to win at Oklahoma and perhaps Texas A&M. And then it sets up that Georgia game here, and watch out at Jordan-Hare Stadium in early October.
Andy, looking at the schedule, every SEC team has just a three-game horror where back-to-back-to-back. The good news is Auburn gets an off week in that one. Yeah. As you mentioned, Oklahoma, at Texas A&M. Then you get the off week, and then you get Georgia at home. Looking at it, you got three non-conference to start the season. And you get one non-conference before the Iron Bowl. You come off an off week, then the non-conference, then the Iron Bowl. So Auburn has a lot of chances to kind of get rested up going into the Iron Bowl. But the fun thing about the schedule, and it's not fun, especially if you're a coach or a player, but for fans, it's fun, is that five games after you come off that first off week, Georgia.
You beat me to it.
Yeah, Georgia, Missouri, at Arkansas, Kentucky, at Vanderbilt. Look, it's manageable, but it's measurable. I mean, I don't think anybody wants to play Georgia, Missouri at home, then go on the road to Arkansas, up to Vietnam, as some people refer to it. Then come back to Kentucky, and then you're there in the Music City. I mean, that's a long tour, man.
It is. But, you know, I think, Heath, everybody has that in this league.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, when you're talking to Andrew Monaco at A&M, or you're talking to Chris Stewart at Alabama, or David Kellum at Ole Miss, or Neil Price at Mississippi State, you know, we're all going to lament parts of our schedule. You talk about that five-week stretch from one open week to the next. It's 5 weeks in the Southeastern Conference. There is not a better ladder. Listen, the Big Ten has won the last two national championships. Hats off to the Big Ten. That's still not a better league than the Southeastern Conference, top to bottom.
Right. Agreed.
And I will stand on that hill, so to speak. So everybody's got it. Every team out there has this kind of stretch, and that is Auburn's, that 5 week stretch.
So, Andy, we are up against our final break, and when we come back, we are going to finish up the Auburn preview show with you. That's on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Stingray Show. We will be right back.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Friday edition of Game, we'll do a free-for-all Friday. We're going to preview Alabama's first scrimmage as we lead into that on Saturday afternoon. We'll preview that. We'll talk to Brent Beer. We'll talk to Bobby Carpenter as we get you ready for another weekend of Alabama Crimson Tide football. Right here on The Game, starting at 2 p.m. on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
The longest running sports program in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
How would you like to live where you love in the state of Alabama? Whether it is your upsizing, downsizing, retiring at the beach, or relocating for your job, then you are going to want to contact Celeste Hagler, owner of First Class Real Estate South Home Group, with brokers in Tuscaloosa, Orange Beach, and Huntsville. They can help you with the buying, selling, and investment needs throughout the state of Alabama. You can contact Celeste at 205-861-5698. Once again, that is 205-861-5698, and schedule a consultation to discuss your real estate goals anywhere across the state of Alabama. Has it always been your dream to build the pond of your dreams, but you don't know if property you own or are thinking about buying has a good location to build a pond on? You need to contact Honey Hole Fisheries right here in Tuscaloosa County, because Jeff Bagwell will help you decide if property you own or are thinking about buying has a good location to build a pond. You can contact Honey Hole Fisheries at 205-799-0192. Once again, that is 799-0192. And hey, Jeff Bagwell can also order top quality automatic fish and hunting feeders for all of your outdoor recreation. Contact Jeff Bagwell today, once again at 205-799-0192, to help you build the pond or lake of your dreams.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. East on McFarland from Coker to Jack Warner Parkway, it's a 13-minute drive. North on Highway 69 from Old Greensboro Road to Skyland Boulevard, it's a 7-minute drive. Road work is going on University Boulevard. The area is closed from Campus Drive to Colonial. And also construction on McWrights Ferry Road. It's being extended to Rice Mine Road. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, I'm Lisa Bakke.
Towson, Mason.
You're listening to the home of Alabama Crimson Tide sports. Tide 100.9.
residents of Tuscaloosa, are you guys upsizing, downsizing, looking for college housing, or even relocating for your job right here to Tuscaloosa? If that's the case, then you need to contact Celeste Hagler, owner and operator of First Class Real Estate South Home Group, right here in Tuscaloosa. She can help you with the buying, selling, and investment needs throughout the state of Alabama. You can contact Celeste at 205-861-5698. Reach out to Celeste again at 205-861-5698 and schedule a consultation to discuss your real estate goals and to live where you love in the state of Alabama. Welcome back inside of our final segment on the Auburn Preview Show. Our guest this evening is the voice of the Auburn Tigers, Mr. Andy Burcham. And Andy, you are a veteran in radio right there with Auburn. How did you get your opportunity to start broadcasting and then get hired at Auburn?
Something I wanted to do since I was a little kid, literally, Stephen. I grew up near St. Louis, Missouri, and in the 60s when the Cardinals were winning world championships, I was listening to the likes of Harry Carey and Jack Buck. And Dan Kelly was the St. Louis Blues announcer, and they're all Hall of Famers. I mean, they're all among the greatest ever. And that's what I grew up listening to. And literally, when I was 6 years old, this is what I decided I wanted to do. I moved to Auburn in 1988, and I went to work at a country radio station in the Auburn-Opelika area and was given the opportunity at that point, along with the morning show, to take over as the play-by-play voice for Auburn women's basketball. And then in 95, I joined Rod on the call for Auburn baseball. In the meantime, I had been fortunate enough to join the football crew as the pre and the post game host, and did some CSS and SEC Network Plus work. So it's something I've done since graduating from college in 1983. And it's all I've ever done. I did not have a plan B. It's not very smart of me, but this was the plan for me. And then of course, when Rod passed away, was killed back in 2019, was given this opportunity to take over as the voice. So gotcha. I'm blessed to be in this role. It's I continue the legacy of the likes of Rod and Jim Fife and Paul Ellen and Buddy Rutledge and Gary Sanders. And so I do understand the work that these men have done in the past, and I try to continue to do that to this very day.
Gotcha.
Andy, Stephen's going to hate this, but everyone listening, I mean, you are going to love this. You know, I love Harry Carey, and everyone seems to have a Harry Carey story of some rant that he had on air. And for me, it's very short and simple. It was opening weekend for the Cubs. They were playing the Braves. The game was at Wrigley. It was miserable. And Harry sits there. I want to say it was the second game of the season. It might have been the third. But Harry comes in, and the Braves are just destroying the Cubs. And this is late in Harry's career. But randomly, Harry's like, and I guess the possums will have to come out another day for the Cubbies. And I remember just sitting there thinking, where is Harry at right now? I know it's cold. And I know he's probably started happy hour because it was a day game. But I remember just sitting there laughing because Harry always randomly threw out funny things. We all know about it. What's a random story you got about Harry?
Well, when I first started, I mean, in the 60s, the 50s and the 60s, he was a very different announcer than what he became with the Cubs on WGN. And he and Jack Buck, and Jack Buck is actually the guy that meant more to me as a radio man than even Harry, because Jack Buck was St. Louis radio. He was St. Louis to me and could do anything. But one of the things I remember about Harry, especially in the days where he was with the Cubs, is he would take a player's name and then spell it and pronounce it backwards. I don't know where that came from. He always had trouble with Andre Scalaraga's name. Was one of the things that I remember. He and Jack Buck, from time to time when they were in St. Louis, would do a game from the bleachers, mm-hmm. and they take their shirts off. and just be out there with the fans. When they opened up the War Eagle Wall here in Auburn, and now you can stand on top of the wall and watch games at Auburn baseball, I said, you know, we're going to figure out a way for Brad and I to do a game out there, but I will not take my shirt off because no one wants to see that much of me. But listen, Harry Carey in the 60s was as good as there was as a play-by-play man. He became more of a personality, I think, by the time he got to the White Sox and then, of course, closed his career on WGN with the Cubs.
So, Andy, with you broadcasting for the Auburn Tigers, give us a couple of the highlights and memorable moments for you of your time broadcasting there at Auburn.
Well, the first game that I did as the voice was that Auburn-Oregon game down in Arlington, Texas. It was Bo Nix's first game, his freshman year, and, of course, Auburn won that game on a last-second touchdown pass. I'll never forget just everything that went into that first game. That later that year, Auburn's win and Auburn's last win in the Iron Bowl was also that season, 2019. I've been able to broadcast two SEC regular season, an SEC tournament championship, and now a Final Four appearance for the Auburn men's basketball team. And what Bruce Pearl has done at Auburn is just truly remarkable. But some of those games, getting to call those games for Auburn. Baseball is what I've done now longer than anything else. I just finished year number 31.
Wow.
And I'll never forget the trip that we made to Oregon State in 2022 in the Super Regional. And it went down to a final game, and Auburn won by a run at Oregon State, a place that they'd never lost in the postseason. There in Corvallis, and watching that team make a trip to the World Series. So I've been blessed, guys. I mean, there are times I walk away. I mean, just this past year after that Elite Eight win against Michigan State at State Farm Arena in Atlanta, and my wife Jan was with me, and Randall Dickey, who has done such a very good job taking over for Sonny Smith, and the three of us walked out of State Farm Arena. Out the door, found our car, and just the feeling of a win against Michigan State and knowing that we were going to the Final Four in San Antonio. Just that walk to the car with our equipment case, getting in the car and driving back to Auburn. I'll never forget that feeling of being so blessed to be around this program and around this university. Listen, guys, I didn't graduate. I didn't go to Auburn. I wouldn't be able to get into Auburn. I wouldn't have the grades or the scores to get into Auburn right now. But I've been so blessed by being able to work with this university now. And I certainly don't take it for granted.
So, Andy, if there are any aspiring broadcasters who want to get into the area of broadcasting games like you do, what is some advice that you could give them?
Do it. Okay. Do it. Get involved. The high school level, if you're coming to college somewhere, get involved on that campus, whether it's the campus radio station or here at Auburn. And all of the SEC schools now have it, you know, Auburn's version of SEC Network Plus is War Eagle Productions. What a great resource. But do it. Find that local radio station and go to work for those folks, or find that TV station and find out what you can do for that. The best advice I can give you is to do it and stick with it, because it may not always pay off for you. It may not be the career that you want someday, but you've got to do it. Get involved in that and get better. And don't be afraid to reach out and say, hey, can you take a listen to this tape for me? What do you think of my work? And listen, we all started somewhere. I started, I was the third man in the booth for Nashville high school football games in Southern Illinois, my hometown high school. And that led to doing high school basketball the next year, and then on to Indiana State, where I worked at the campus radio station doing Indiana State football, basketball, women's basketball, and baseball. I did as much as I possibly could, and that has helped lead me to where I am today.
So, Andy, to wrap this up briefly, any final words for the Auburn Nation about this upcoming football season that you would like to say?
War Eagle, I look forward to this season. I think folks are a little apprehensive. I think going into last year, there was a little bit of hype for Auburn going in, and it became a disappointing season.
Yeah.
I think folks are a little more apprehensive going into this season. I think this could become a special season for Auburn. I'm not making any grand predictions of championships or the playoff or anything like that. I'm not saying it couldn't and won't happen, but I look forward to seeing what Hugh Freeze does in his third year, because he has more talent than he's had in the past. What does he do? What does this Auburn team do with that? And it's a tough opener. And then that Baylor game on the 29th.
And Andy, speaking of the Baylor game, be safe in your travels out to Baylor. We really do want to thank you for taking time out of your schedule. I will leave you with this, War Eagle, and we would love to catch up with you during the season to talk Auburn football.
Well, it's always good to talk with you, Stephen and Heath. Guys, have a great day. War Eagle.
Yes, sir. War Eagle. Thank you, man.
Andy, enjoy your weekend, brother.
Thank you.
So, guys, that is going to wrap up the interview there with Andy Burcham, the voice of the Auburn Tigers, and Heath. That is going to wrap up the Auburn Preview Show. Really do want to thank Andy for joining us, like I said. And Heath, like we talked about off the top of the show, year number one for Auburn, 6-7 under Hugh Freeze. Year number two, they fell back to 5-7. I'm going to make a bold prediction. I think Hugh Freeze saves his job. They go back to a bowl game. I'm going with a very comfortable 7-5 this year on the plains at Auburn. So, Heath, that is going to put a wrap on the Auburn Preview Show. And when we come back on the Fun Friday edition of the Stingray Show, it is going to be talking about the team up in Nashville that could have a really good season this year under Diego Pavia, who is coming back. We are going to be talking about the Vanderbilt Commodores to finish up the first week of our SEC previews. That will be on the Friday evening edition of the Stingray Show at 6 p.m. Chris Lee of Vandy 247 will join us to do a deep dive into the Commodores, and we will catch you Friday at 6 p.m.
Steven, you going to watch that Friday night game with Auburn and Baylor?
Of course I am, man. War Eagle.